on today's program with Pastor Nate Gallagher.
My God shall supply all your need. That's like a verse that people are like, yeah! God supplies our needs, yes! And they're like cheering and excited, like this is an amazing verse. But listen, this is kind of the bad news. It isn't a promise for everyone.
This is Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. If we're being honest, life gets hard. With pressures at work or just stuff going on at home, there are tons of things that can cause us to feel like our joy is being taken away. Let's join Pastor Nate through the book of Philippians as we learn how we can have joy through those tough circumstances in a new series, Joy Out Loud.
So I'll break it down really simply. If you get $10, a tithe would be $1 of that 10. That would be a tithe. If you get $10 and you give God 50 cents, you haven't tithed. Does that make sense? Because tithing is a tenth. A lot of people are confused by this. They make $100 and they give God 10 or give God 8 bucks and they're like, "Oh, that was my tithe." No, no, no. That was more like a gift. A tithe would have been 10 bucks. Does that make sense? So tithing, and then there's also an offering or a gift, and that is any amount that isn't the 10%, whether it's above or below, whatever God pushes on your heart to give, that is a gift or an offering. And we give, listen, from grace. We don't give because we're trying to earn God's favor. We don't give because this is what pleases God. The church gets a bad rap because of preachers on TV with their Rolexes saying, like, God needs your money. And you're like, where's that money actually going? Like, your suit looks really nice and that stage is really big. And how much does it cost for you to be on TV demanding that God needs your money? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so the church gets a really bad rap. But we don't give out of obligation. We give because it's our opportunity to respond to what God has done for us. We give from grace. It's not to earn anything from God. It's not to make God like us. God already likes you. God has already given everything to us. And from, not for, what God has given to us, we ought to give. The grace of God should lead us first to God, where we surrender to Him, we're living for Him, and that should lead us to be wanting to be used by God. And if, listen, if God wants to use you through your resources, then we should want to give. If God wants to use the money that you have to further the kingdom, then we should give. I love that Hannah brought up the fact that we gave to Dodgeball this month. We recognize that we have really had such an awesome opportunity to use the GYAC every last Sunday of the month. And just because we don't get to use it this Sunday doesn't mean we want to withhold what we have. We have enough. That they're suffering right now. We have enough. And so from the abundance of what we have, we want to give to bless what they're doing, because we don't want to just look at it, okay, only what I can get out of it. We want to see GYAC continue to thrive. And so if our little offering is going to help them out, then we're going to do it. It's because of what we've already received, we want to respond in giving. The grace of God should lead us first to God and then looking for opportunity to serve. The Philippians, they were used like crazy because they gave to Paul's ministry. They were a part of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. If you don't know anything about the Apostle Paul, he was kind of a big deal. Like as far as church, like he's Saint Paul, right? Like he's like a big, he's famous in the church world. He like wrote like the majority of the Bible, the New Testament. Like he's a big deal. And they were helpful and influential and a part of the ministry of Paul because they gave to the ministry of Paul. And they responded to what God was doing. They had too much joy because they recognized they had too much grace. Listen to this verse, Romans 5, chapter 20. Maybe you're not convinced of the grace of God. Listen to this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But listen, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. It says sin, it abounded. It was everywhere. The idea of abound is like the ocean, where you like go out and you lose sight of the land and you just see the horizon. You're looking around like this is everywhere. Like, where does this thing stop? That's the idea. That was your sin. It's just kind of everywhere. Where does this thing stop? And he says, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. The literal Greek, it means super abounded. It's like abounding. It's like the ocean abounding, and then put Superman's cape on the back of it. And then that's where grace showed up. Sin abounded, but grace with a cape on showed up and covered our sin. And now as a response to God's grace, we're going to give to God. Listen, you don't give to God of your time, of your talents, of your treasures because God needs it. We do it because of what God has already done in us and for us. From grace, we give. All right, second point. Y'all still with me? It's about the intent, not the extent. It's about the intent of the gift, not the extent of the gift. Now, Paul makes it very clear to the Philippians that he was thankful for their gift. He makes it really clear. Like, he's like, guys, I wanted you to know that I'm so thankful for the fact that you have given and the fact that you tried to give again. Like, you don't understand. It means a lot to me. But he was more thankful for what it meant to them. Look at verse 17. He says, not that I seek the gift. He's like, I'm thankful for the gift. Like, I'm happy that you gave it. But he's like, not that I'm out looking for gifts. He says, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. He says, I'm good. I've got the gift. I'm thankful for the gift. But he says it wasn't about the gift amount, but the fruit in their account. It wasn't about the gift amount, but the fruit, he says, that was in their account. Paul shows us a very powerful picture about giving here. When we give to God and we partake in what he's doing, not only are we opening up more opportunity for God to work, but we're also storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. I'm going to use the dodgeball analogy once again. The fact that we gave to them, even though we're not going to use it, what it does is it opens up more opportunity for us to use the GYC, correct? Because it's like, okay, if you fix it, then we get to keep using it. So it opens up more opportunity, believing that God's going to reach more people through the dodgeball ministry. That's kind of the idea. But not only is he saying, is it helping in the present? He says, I'm much more concerned and much happier about the fruit that's in your account. What he's saying is, I'm happier about the treasures that you have stored in heaven because you listened to God and gave to the ministry. And now there's fruit in your account in heaven because you listened to God. That's what he's saying. And he says, I'm much happier about that. Through our giving, we send treasures ahead to heaven. Paul is saying to the Philippians that through their gift, they are just as much a part of the work that God is doing through Paul as Paul is. This is so important that you guys get this. He's saying that they are just as much involved as what Paul is doing, even though they're not there. Have you ever, maybe you've gone to church for a while or you've been a part of church things and you don't really feel like you're a part of it? Like you're like, I don't really have anything to offer. I don't really have anything to give. And I feel disconnected. And I got to imagine as Paul was like going from town to town and churches were starting and all these things were happening. And there's people like, man, what do I have to offer? Like, I'm not doing anything. And so the Philippians, they're like, well, we want to be a part of it somehow. How can we be a part of it? Maybe they're sitting there thinking like, what can we do? And somebody's like, man, I heard that Paul was hungry last month. And they're like, what? Paul was hungry? He's out preaching. The world is getting saved. And this dude can't afford food. All right, that's it. Who's got money? And like, I do. Like, all right, write a check. Who else? I do. And they got this collection of Paul together. They sent it to Paul. And now Paul was able to eat and he had a place to stay. And as a result, he was able to further the ministry. And he says, yeah, that helped a lot. But not only did it help me right now in time and space and matter and what we can see, but it sent treasures ahead into heaven. They were just as much a part of what God was doing, even though they weren't the ones preaching the gospel, they were just as much a part of it. Paul was actually preaching, but it was their gift that allowed him to preach. They were a part of it because they were a part of what God is doing. And because they were a part of what God is doing, they got rewarded for it. Listen, God doesn't expect us to do everything, but he expects us to do something. God doesn't expect you to be the person that changes your whole school and like you're the one person that goes in and you like preach this message in front of like your classmates or your coworkers and the whole school like revival breaks out and like everybody's like, how did this happen? And they like say your name. God's not expecting that. But what God is expecting is that you stand up and you be a light to the person in your class. Oh, what God is expecting is that when everybody's being mean to this person, you stand up and you show them grace and forgiveness. What God is expecting is that rather than behaving and acting like everybody else, you stand up for what God wants you to stand up for and you live in surrender to Him. That God expects you not to do everything, but to do something. And Paul says that through their giving, they were a part of it. They didn't do everything. They weren't the one communicating it. They weren't the one traveling, but they did do something. It doesn't matter the extent, how much, but the intent why we do it. Paul said that their gift was a sacrifice. Look at verse 18. Indeed, I have all in abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Paul at no point says how much, like dollar amount, they sent. It wasn't like, thank you for your generous donation of $5,000. Like, he doesn't say that. He just says, thanks for what you sent. It could have been a lot. It could have been not very much. We don't know. But Paul recognizes the intention, the reason that they gave. And he says that it was a sacrifice for them to give. A sacrifice for them to give. Look at what Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. He says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. So Jesus is there in like the temple and he's watching these people. And I've seen this like as a cartoon movie one time. And there's like a person with like looking like Santa Claus with a big like sack of money, like dragging it into the church. And like everybody's like, oh, look at all that money he's giving to the church. And like everybody's amazed. And like, so Jesus is watching. He's watching people walk in and the rich people are bringing a lot of money, which makes sense, right? If a rich person brings a lot of money, that makes sense. And then it goes on and says this. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrant. Now, I don't know what that means in like today's term, but it doesn't mean much. Like it's like a little bit of money. It's not very much. And it says she comes in, she throws in 2 mites, which is a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So Jesus watches all these guys with their big old sacks of money throwing it in and probably like getting high fives on the way out. Like, yeah, what's up? Look at all that money I just dropped in there. Like, that ain't nothing. I got so much more. And then this woman humbly walks in and she throws in her 2 pennies or whatever it was. And she leaves and Jesus says, see that? See her? And they're like, no, look at that guy. Look at all that money he has. He's got a big role. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that guy's a big deal. And he's like, no. That lady who nobody really paid attention to, the one that didn't get the high fives, the one that didn't get all the praise, she put in way more than everybody else. And I kind of imagine they're like, Jesus, did you forget math? That's not how math works. Like, that's more, that's less. And he's like, no. Because she gave out of what she didn't have. She gave all that she had. They got plenty. The fact that they gave that much is like, whatever. But the fact that she, out of a sacrifice, gave of what really she didn't have or all that she did have, was a much bigger offering in God's eyes than somebody coming in and throwing in $100, even though they've got way more than that. And the point is that it's not about the extent of what we have to give to God, but the intent, the reason that we give. And it goes back to point one. We give because of the grace of God. We don't give because we want to look like something cool. We don't give because we're trying to earn God's favor. We give because of what God has done. Jesus didn't care about how much the woman gave, but her giving was a sacrifice. Listen, God wants our best. And when we give of ourselves, God will reward us, and we are a part of what he's doing. It isn't about what we don't have, but about the sacrifice. And when we sacrifice, it's a sweet smelling aroma to God. Whether it's our time or our talents or our money, it blesses God. And he says it stores up treasures in heaven. God is about the sacrifice. And so really practically, like if you look at your wallet and you're like, I've got $5. God doesn't care if it's $5 or if it's $500 or if it's $5,000. God cares about what we give as a response to his grace. It blesses God and it stores up treasure for us. Final point. You guys still with me? This is kind of an interesting talk, but I think it's so important. Final point. God gives when we give. Or I put in parentheses, God gives more when we give. Verse 19 is one of the greatest promises in this letter, perhaps in the New Testament. It says this, and my God, I love that he claims ownership of him, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that an amazing verse? My God shall supply all your need. That's like a verse that people are like, yeah, God supplies our needs, yes. And they're like cheering and excited, like this is an amazing verse. But listen, this is kind of the bad news. It isn't a promise for everyone. This is a promise that people like try to claim ownership of and it doesn't belong to them. You ever seen a situation like that? Like, that's mine. It's like, no, it's not yours. I don't know. Well, that's not yours. Some people like claim like, my God shall supply all your need. And people a lot of times in the Bible like pick and choose different verses. They go through the Bible and they just randomly grab them and apply it to their life. Like this is for me. And listen to me. The word of God is for you. And the promises of God are for you. But here's the key. There's certain things that lead into those promises that are requirements in order to obtain those promises. For this was written specifically to the church in Philippi. Now, I said at the beginning, we're cracking open their letter. We're committing a federal offense. Not really. But we're able to read it because we're believers. This book was written to believers. So we have access to it. But the key to this verse 19, for us to be able to grab hold of it, is he was talking to them because they're already living generously. The Philippians, he's writing to them and he's saying, thank you so much for listening to God and giving because of God's grace to the ministry. And he says, because you have been living generously, because you've given, the last verse was because you have given a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, because you've sacrificed what you have, God will supply all your need. He's writing to people that are already living generously. The problem with this verse is people come in who don't live generously and expect God to supply all their need. And the catch, the key to this verse, this promise, is to the Philippian church who were giving. They were living generously. And so Paul told them that God would be generous to them. This promise is specific to those that are generous with their resources, first to God and then to others. Let me tell you, the Bible makes it really clear that bad stewards of what they have are not like the best people in the story. Like people that God has given to and they have bad, they're bad stewards of it. They're not like praised and celebrated. There's this one story. It's super weird. It's one of those stories that Jesus tells and you're like, huh? But he tells the story of this guy that gives some of his workers a different amount of money. And really, he tells them, hey, go and invest this money. And so one guy goes out, he gets $10 and he invests it and he comes back with $100. One guy gets $100, goes out, invests it, comes back with $1,000. And then there's this one guy, this one steward, who he gets money and he's like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to invest it in. Like Apple seems good right now, but I don't know. Like maybe anyway. So he's not sure what he should invest in. And so he takes it, he buries it, and then he waits. And then when the master comes back and he's supposed to give an account, his money's supposed to multiply. He's like, listen, I know you're kind of all over the place with your money. You don't know where to invest. And so because you weren't sure, I just went and buried it. I didn't do anything with it. And then here you go. And he goes, you wicked and lazy servant. He says, couldn't you have at least just put it in the bank, and then over time there would have been interest on it, and so it would have been more than what I gave to you? And the reason I bring this up is because Jesus isn't really fond of bad stewards of money. They're always the bad guy. They're always like, you idiot. In Jesus' name. It's never good. And so Jesus, this promise is specific to those that are living generous with what God has given to them. They're saying, okay, God, because of your grace, I'm going to respond and give. And he says, when you're living generously with your time, with your talents, with your treasures, all of these things, then you're going to receive the promise from God. But notice, final point, worship team, you guys can all come back up here. Notice that it says, God will supply all your... Actually, do me a favor. Look at it real quick. Do you guys still have it open? Philippians 4, verse 19. You guys have it open? Yeah? All right. Say it when you see it. And my God shall supply all your... What was it? It was all of your Christmas wish list, right? It was all of your feelings and desires. It was every whim and every thought. No. He says, my God shall supply all your need. Not anything and everything you feel or want, God will supply to you. But listen, he will supply what we need. Sometimes people get frustrated with God because they aren't getting the things they asked from God. You ever been there? You're like praying to God and you're like, hello? Is this thing on? God, where are you? I've asked and I've asked and I've asked and you haven't answered. And we're frustrated with God because he hasn't answered what we've asked for. But sometimes we ask not for what we need or what God wants to give. And we aren't living generously, and so we aren't ready to receive. We're like, I need more of this. And God's like, you aren't even a good steward with what you have. Why would you get more? Why would I give more to you if you can't even do the right thing with what you've already been given? Listen to this verse. This is a pretty powerful verse. Proverbs chapter 11. This is in the NIV. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Listen, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. He says, one person gives freely and gains even more. Meaning he sees opportunity, he gives. Hey, the church, I'm giving to the church. My time, I'm surrendering to God. I'm giving. And a person that is giving should be empty, right? But he says, a person that gives freely gains even more. And then one person who withholds unduly, in other words, one person that doesn't give, a person that sort of hoards their money, he says, they come to poverty. They save and save and save and save and save, and they end up being broke. And the person that gives and gives and gives and gives has more. When we give, listen, we are able to receive what God wants to give. When we withhold, we are actually withholding from ourselves what God wants to give to us. When you don't respond to the grace of God by giving first your life and then giving service unto God, you are actually withholding from yourself what God wants to do in you. Here's the thing, though. We made this clear. God will supply all we need. But listen, if we have Jesus, we have all we need. Paul said that God will supply all of our need by Christ Jesus. He gives us the supply right there. He gives us what we need right there. He says, my God will supply all your need, he said, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He would say earlier that he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. The point is, if we have Christ, we have all we need. And so we should stop being so worried about what we don't have or what we think we need and recognize we have Jesus. So we have all we need. And now because of what I have, and because of what God has given to me, I'm going to turn and live as God wants me to live. I'm going to give as God wants me to give. From grace, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And we're going to recognize that, wait a second, I don't need what I think I need. I have Jesus and I have all I need. I don't need more. I've got enough. The Bible says that Christ is enough. That he is all we need. He's more than enough, and he's all that we need. And because we have him, we have all that we need. Relationship with Jesus is all we need, but we must learn to rely on him. Listen, living generously allows us to receive all that God wants to give us, because we're living as God wants us to live, and it allows us to receive what God wants to give.
We sing glory, glory.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio. We pray that this message has blessed you and your relationship with Christ. And if you'd like more information about all that's going on here, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com. Or follow Pastor Nate on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week, and join us next time here on Middle Ground Radio.